Thanks to Masterworks for supporting the Productivity Show. Masterworks is an investment company that helps you buy shares of fine art. Now, while they have a long wait list, they've opened up 35 passes for our listeners to jump to the front. So go to masterworks.io/TPS to get your pass today before they run out. Thanks also to ExpressVPN for supporting the Productivity Show. Stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Go to exprssvpn.com/TPS and you can get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. This episode is also sponsored by Wondery's Business Wars. In the newest edition of Wondery's Business Wars podcast, they look at how Death Row and Bad Boy Records changed American music and American business. But of course, that soon enough turned deadly from their East Coast versus West Coast rivalry. Listen to Business Wars, Death Row versus Bad Boy on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen 1 week early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Welcome to The Productivity Show, a podcast by Asian Efficiency to help you maximize your productivity so you can get everything done without having to sacrifice your health, family, and things that matter to you. We've helped tens of thousands of people save time, be happier, and become more productive. Now, over the years, we've done many podcast episodes about organization and decluttering, but we always get questions about one specific area, and that is photos. So we decided to call in an expert. In this episode, I'm joined by Isabelle Dervaux, a professional photo organizer and family photo curator. She has a background as an artist, is a regular speaker on the topic, and has been featured in Real Simple, The Wall Street Journal, and The New Yorker. We're going to talk about decluttering your photos and making them something that bring you joy. You can find links to everything that we share in the show notes by going to theproductivityshow.com/371. And now, on with the show. All right. Thank you so much, Isabelle, for being here. I'm really, really excited to talk about this topic. It's something I've wanted to do on the podcast literally for years and years. But before we get into that, I did a little bit of a bio at the start in the intro, but we always like to hear from the guests that we have on the show. So maybe you can tell us a little bit about who you are, what you do, and that sort of thing.
Hi, Brooke. I love to help people organizing their photos. I do mostly digital because now it seems like there's just so many of them. I also help people curating the photos from their parents, their grandparents, et cetera, that end up on the, in the house. But mostly when I work, I usually work with Apple Photos and iPhone, Mac, iCloud, and the number could be kind of staggering. It could be 50,000 photo, 100,000 photo or more. So I usually help people to gather everything, organize. We organize because we want to curate the photos. And after we curate the photos, we want to create something with it, like a book, a calendar, put this in a gift, do a little video, stuff like that.
Perfect. And just so you know, if you're listening to this, we will be talking about Apple stuff, but we'll be referencing resources for PC, Android, and stuff like that. So if you are listening to this and you are a Google Photos user or whatever, don't worry, we'll have lots for you as well. And speaking of that, we like to start every single episode with what we call our top three resources. So these are three productivity or something relatively productivity related that we're loving these days. But when we have a guest on, like you, Isabelle, what we always like to do is have our guests share their top three resources. So do you have three, could be apps, could be really anything you like that that you'd like to share?
Okay, so if you have... I guess it's an iPhone, but I like the Gemini 2 app. So you just get this from the Apple Store and it will look through all of your photos. And if you have never deleted a picture in your life, it will find all the blurry photos. This is the only app that does this. So you could just say, oh my God, oh, why is this all black? Why is this all gray? And then it will find the blurry photos. It will find the duplicates and it's all done for you. So that's one. If you have a lot of duplicates, Photo Sweeper is the one you will use for your computer. So Photo Sweeper is great. It's a little bit of a learning curve, but you will see that you could find everything that was driving you crazy because this photo is like five times, you know, and then you could regain space this way, right? And then if you have a PC, what did I recommend? Do a Duplicate Cleaner Pro if you have a PC. And then the other, let's see. Yes, I wanted to talk about the photo managers websites. So it's a group, there's maybe 500 to 750 photo organizers that can help you do what I do anywhere in the States and also now anywhere in the world. Australia, England, Germany, the Netherlands. So anyway, it kind of groups everybody that does this. The same way we have NAPO for the regular home organizers or office organizers. Did I miss something?
No, that's great. And just so everybody, people who are listening, just so you know, I will have links to all of these in the show notes. So wherever you're listening to this in your podcast app, just swipe usually down or to the right or something like that. And there'll be links to all these resources. And yeah, you bring up an interesting thing. A lot of people don't realize this because I tell people this a lot and they're quite surprised. This is an actual career that people have, right? Photo organizing, like that's what you do. You help people organize your photos, and there's organizations like the photo managers of people who do this because it's a really growing problem. But that leads me to my next question, which is, this is not a career that you usually hear about people, you know, going to school for or something like that. I'm sure that will change. So I'm curious of your background, like how did you end up being a photo organizer and what was your path to doing that?
Yes. So it came actually from an actual problem that we went to France with my husband, and he came back with a computer that was we put the computer, the laptop actually was, we thought it was safe in the overhead compartment, and it came down cracked. And I'm like, oh my God. And the photo were fine. But they kind of told me that, oh, I want to make sure that I back up what he has on this computer, on my computer. These are the photos for my children. I want to make sure they're safe. So I realized, well, I need to be very careful with my pictures because this is not something you want to lose, right? So because at that time, these pictures, I only had them digital. So my background is an illustrator. I worked for 30 years. I was working in publishing, advertising, children's books. So it was image. I create from a blank page. I'll create illustration, fun, whimsical. And after a while, I figured that I didn't really want to do this anymore and I wanted to do something else. I help my friends. I help my family, like putting little videos and putting little things where, like for a birthday, for something special. And I realized how people were felt, like once you have a curated selection of images together, it just produced something much better. And I figured like, wow, this is fun. Maybe I could help other people do this. And it's really looking at images the same way I was looking at, you know, images that were drawn or painted. So I feel like everything that I was good at being an illustrator, I just transferred to just looking at pictures and photographs. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Now, I mentioned earlier that I was excited about doing this episode. And the reason why is because we've done so much at the Productivity Show in Asian Efficiency. We've done so much stuff on organizing files, organizing documents, organizing notes. But we always end up getting a lot of questions about photos specifically. And somehow decluttering and organizing photos is just different than, say, organizing documents or notes and stuff like that. Like, why do you think organizing photos is such a different thing? And why, what makes photos, I would say, more difficult to tackle than other types of digital organization? Like, why do you think it's such a different thing?
Sure. So digital photos is mostly about your life and about the life of other people's. And actually, this is changing now. We'll talk about it later. But if you have 50,000 pictures, it's very hard to determine now what you're going to need in 20 years, right? So, and hopefully these photos, you want to give this to the next generation that's going to give it to the next generation after that. So you feel like, oh my God, everything is important, right? So it's really the amount and then the emotional connection that we have. We feel like, oh, I'm going to delete a photo of my baby. Oh my God, in 20 years, he's going to be so mad because I deleted the photos. But no, it's, they're never going to know that you had deleted the photos. But because some people very feel like it's a sacrilege to delete the photos. So we get very emotional. And sometimes we take, you know, 25 photos of a group pictures, right? It's the difference between picture 1, picture 10, picture 22 is minimal. So when you look at all the photos, it's very hard to pick the one. And especially in a group, for example, you have so-and-so is smiling, so-and-so is not smiling. There's somebody that doing this or this. It's very hard to have the perfect photo. So you take a picture, it's very fast. You know, you could take 10, 20 photos very quickly. But looking and deciding which one is going to be the one, it takes a long time. You really have to have the eye and remember this photo there. People just give up. They just leave everything there, being afraid of making a mistake. So usually this is what's happening, right? Mm-hmm.
This is a very timely episode for me because my father-in-law just passed away a few days ago, and we're going through and creating a slideshow, you know, for the funeral and all that sort of stuff. And the challenge is exactly what you just said. You know, we're going back and finding pictures of him, and there'll be like 30 pictures of him sitting on the sofa with my kids and their cousins, and we're like digging through these 30 of pictures that are essentially exactly the same to try and figure out the one. Whereas if we had just curated back then and done a better job of that way back then, it would have just been that one or two photos of that same event that we could have then used. But now we have to go back and do a lot of the things that you do retroactively, and it would have made life a lot easier. So this is a very timely episode for me. So I'm going to be learning a lot of lessons.
Right. So sorry about your loss. And in that example, for example, I don't know how old he was, but maybe what you could do is, I do this for my parents, for example. My mom just, you know, it was 90 years birthday. And you could say, let's do this while they're still alive. Let's celebrate them with all the people they love, for example. So you do something before, and then you organize all your paper photos and then your digital photos, and then you have this so they could actually enjoy it, right? And then you have all the work ready, right? And then you add more pictures later to make something more meaningful. But I think it's important, man, even for us to do this for our own photos. So you just kind of look, you like what you do, you like the way you would appear. Mm-hmm. Because you don't want to organize your photos before something happens, right? Just before you are going to be such in a state you cannot think straight, right? So you want to do this ahead of time for other people. Mm-hmm.
And I think definitely this is a problem that's getting worse and worse because, again, using this slideshow example, the old pictures from way back in the day when he was living in Guyana and stuff like that was easy, right? You just go through the paper photo albums and you pick out the few because there's just, you know, not that many pictures. So you just pick out a few that you like. But then once it hits the digital wall, then it's a gong show. And it seems like this is, even since the start of the digital revolution, which has been, you know, quite a long time since digital photo started, to now, but it's just like every year this, I feel like this is getting a problem that's getting worse and worse. Is that what you're feeling too? You know, you're more in this than me. Is it a problem that's accelerating? What do you think has changed with that?
If you look at your phone, you could just decide to look at all your photos and then you look at the final numbers, right? And then you say, how many years is that? You know, maybe 5 years, 6 years. But if you want to refine and know exactly how many photos you have taken last year, just guesstimate and see. So would you know how many photos you have last year, 2020, for example, if you had a guess?
Oh my gosh, I don't know, but I'm sure it's thousands and thousands.
it's impossible to kind of think about how many, like maybe 3 photos a day, 100 photos a month, you know. So just knowing your number is a good thing to do just for the sake of it, right? So I found that the people who call me, they may have, you know, the a family with 2 children, right? 5,000 is usually is getting like, oh my God, that I have maybe a little too many, right? So this is usually my goal. So simply to look at the number of your photos, you go to your phone, you go to the search bar, and then you'll type 220. And then if you do that, you will bring 2019, 2018. And then you could see if you have more and more, right? And then you could say, oh, maybe I had a baby, so no wonder it's jumping all the way up, right? Or maybe, I have 1,000 photos. That's kind of normal, you know? And then you see, it's really how many photos are too much for you. If you figure that you never have time to look at them, maybe you have too many. But if you have 5 kids and you travel every vacation, of course, you're going to have many more photos. So it's really, I usually say, you probably have too many, so just do a little bit less and declutter so it's easier to look at them.
Now, I'm going to flip that around and kind of play devil's advocate a little bit, which is, you know, we talked about how the historical, generally paper photos, it's less of a problem. But it wasn't because we were, you know, somehow better at decluttering back then. It was because you really only had a certain number of photos on a film roll and it was expensive to get them developed. You know, I'm old enough to remember taking those into the drugstore or whatever to get them developed. But now, you know, taking digital photos is free. Search in photo apps is better and better. So why even go through the trouble of decluttering and organizing and that sort of stuff? Like, is it even worth the effort to do that when storage is essentially free and getting bigger and bigger all the time?
That's a good question. So you have to see where you want to have, where you want to spend your time. Because if you look at every single photo, if you have a 50,000 photo collection, it's going to be 50,000 decisions. Right. So it's a lot to do. So I wouldn't advise to do this in one sitting. It's impossible anyway. But you could look at your photo collection and say, well, does it make me happy? You know, usually for people, it brings all good emotion, but at some point they might be overwhelmed. Right. So if you have a system to just maybe select the favorites or delete the worst, you could say, I'm going to take this much time and do what I can. So actually it makes me feel better. Right. Yes. Storage is free. You can have as many photos as you want, but can you find the one you like? Can you find the one you really want to find? The more you have, the harder it's going to be to find them. So yes, you can search for them, but then if you live at the beach, if you type beach, it's going to be hard to find the photos of the beach. You still have too many, right? So you've got to find the system that works in the life you have, in the time you have. I found that too much storage encouraged people to just not care as much. So remember in the old days, if you have a camera, you had to plan, right? I'm going to buy 5 roll of film for 5 weeks of vacations. And then after that, if you finished, well, that's it. You didn't have any. But maybe you would spend more time to look and carefully compose your shot or make people sit and smile or something. It was different. So on your phone, I usually recommend people to just be in the same attitude, the same way you had a big, heavy camera, and just think about a little bit more about the lights, a little bit more about the composition, so you're happy with the end result. Because if you take many, many, many photos in order to have one, and you never delete the bad one, then you never really completed the photos, right? Either what you have to do is heart, or in Google, it would be a star. You want to make sure you select that photos. If you don't want to delete, that's fine. But find a way to put this into an album so you can find the photo that you need in 20 years, in 5 years, right? Mm-hmm.
This is a little bit of a techie detour, but I'm curious what your opinion on this is. You know, we've talked about using the Photos app. We've talked about using Google Photos. Some people like using those apps to store and organize their photos. And some people like prefer to go the other way and have their photos in files and folders, just, you know, maybe sorted by date or whatever, you know, however they want to do it. Do you have a preference between the two approaches, or a hybrid, or what are your thoughts on that?
So you could definitely have all your photos on your computer in folders or in Dropbox. I found it's a little bit difficult to view them, right? So then maybe you want to organize in a way that's very easy to find. Maybe you do by year, by month, and then maybe you add a little more details. You know, if there is a trip to Aspen, you might, you know, locate it so you could search easily. I like Apple Photos because you could organize your photo in multiple ways. You know, you could organize by people, organize by location, organize by theme. You could add keywords. You know, there's so many things that you could do. With Google Photos, you could always add metadata, but when you download your pictures, it doesn't follow the pictures. So the whatever you have entered in Google is not going to stay when you download the pictures. So you want to be careful. You really want to think about how you want to view your pictures, if titles are important for you. It requires a little bit of thought, so you're happy how you organize them. Mm-hmm.
So let's start getting into the mechanics of decluttering and organizing. But before you kind of get started, are there any, if you're going to go down this road, are there any like general high level approaches that you would take, like do it by date, do it by some other approach? Like what are kind of like the successful approaches that you've seen people use?
Sure. So usually if you have a folder system, your photos are going to be in folders, so there's not that much that you could do organizing wise. If you do in Apple Photos or in Google Photos, for example, you can organize by person. So you could name a person and then you'll find all the pictures, because the greatest thing now is face recognition, right? So you could find the 10,000 pictures of child number one, the 10,000 pictures of child number two. This is really great when you want to do slideshows, et cetera, et cetera. And on your phone, this is maybe the best thing, because you could do a little slideshow and you could just do this so easily, because you most people now generate their photos from the phone. So everything is built in the apps. So if you want, I mean, mostly here I want to talk about decluttering, is you need to know in advance, what do you want out of your photos? Why are you taking photos? The problem now is, in the past, we were taking pictures of our trips, of our children, family, friends, experiences, etc. But now we're taking pictures of when we communicate. I need to buy something at the store, you text photos and you like this one or this one, a shopping list, or send me this image, or the parking lot where you stop. These pictures I find are difficult to deal with, because you need them in one day, in a week, but these are the photos you don't want in 20 years, right? So these are kind of usually the clutter, nobody wants to see them, right? And then the third thing that now is changing, that I see more and more people having, is they are on their iPhone or Android and they look through the internet, or they go to social media. They get inspiration, they see a quote, or they see this, or they see an article that they want to read later. So then they take a screenshot. So the screenshot now is stockpiling and bigger and bigger. And it's different because you can't really use image recognition to find them. And it's just not just fun to look at. You want to do this for later. So you want to do this in the future, but it's not really photos, it's just information. So you have to organize this, because you can't remember when you took it, what it was all about. So the screenshot, I find, is another problem to deal with. And then they have these family and there is work photos. So you have everything intermingled at once. So I feel like this is, you have to decide, what do I want to keep? What's important? So usually when you know what you want to see at the end, what is something that in 25 years you want to keep and what can go, this is a big decision. So just looking at and observing, and how does this your photo library feels, then it will be just say, you take a piece of paper and say, I want to delete this, this, this. And then you go about this very clearly. You know what you want to keep and you know what you don't want to keep.
Sorry, I was just going to say, yeah, we have this Google Nest thing, hub thing in our kitchen that just cycles through our photos. And it's great. You know, there's pictures of our kids, pictures of trips, but then there'll be like a picture of a parking meter or a picture of a dress that my wife was like, exactly what you said, like trying on and sending it to me or whatever. So yeah, the sooner you can get rid of those extraneous ones, I think the better shape your library is going to be for sure.
Exactly. So you know that these pictures, you know, they have to go, but that means, you know, regularly you go through the camera roll and then you delete things, right? Mm-hmm.
You know, you mentioned going through and deleting or working with these different pictures as you're going through them. Do you have any, because I'm assuming you've gone through big libraries before, do you have any like quick, actionable, practical tips that people can use to like fly through these things to really speed up the process? Because we're going to get into the mechanics of like actually doing this, going through the library. But I think it would be helpful for people if before they start going through it, if they had like maybe some quick shortcuts or practical tips that they can use as they go through it.
So, but mostly you want to go to the easy stuff first. Like when you go to a library, you could look at everything with thumbnails, you know, and then thumbnails are the little images, and delete all the accidents, you know, the pockets accidents, the blurry picture, everything that's easy to do. So you could just go and say, okay, let me delete all of this first, because there's not really any thinking involved. I could do this for anybody. I will find video that really should have been photos, and you know, like really the worst stuff, everybody has these, right? So that's easy. So after that, it's thinking about series of photos, which one is the best one. This I think you need to think about more, and if you have a series of maybe 10, you say I'm gonna keep 3, and then you go back to it. So you can't really do this in once at one time. Usually you'll go delete the worst one, heart the best one, and then you go back to it to refine, because if not, you'll never be done. But mostly for every photo, you have a decision. So the decision is you keep the photo, it's okay, you like it. You have the photo, if that photo or in Google or Dropbox, it will be you put a star. So this photo will be going, or maybe if you have on a regular folder, a file, you could just put a color, you know. If you use Lightroom, then there's flag, there's different stars, but we're going to keep simple. So you either you keep it or you hard it. So you keep it and you hard it, or you delete. So you have really sweet choices. And each time you decide, right? So one by one, and later you're going to come back and say, well, now I'm going to compare a few photos together. Yes. But I'm going to tell you about shortcuts. Are we ready for shortcuts?
Yeah, let's do it. Let's do the shortcuts.
So I'm going to talk about Mac, and then there's always an equivalent in the PC world, right? So what you want to do is to be really fast, because 50,000 photos, that will take you for a long time. You're going to look, open your, I'm talking here about Apple Photos. So you will be looking at all your photos. Actually, if you have them in folders, same thing. So you are going to use the command plus the delete key, right? Usually people go to their photo library and they press delete. So when you do this, you'll have a little pop-up window that tells you, are you sure you want to delete it? And then you say yes. That is two click. You just want to do one click. So it will be command delete at the same time. So with one finger, the other finger, command delete. And then your photo is one click, and then you did it this way. So this will save you tons of time. This little trick, I expect everybody to know, but you cannot believe it's not true. Not everybody uses it. So because you could use it on your Mac, this could help you in every other decluttering mission that you have. On the PC, it will be control delete, right? So if you want to delete multiple photos, you would select the first one, press shift, select the last one. Then you select a bunch of photos. You know, maybe your five-year-old took your iPhone and really took a lot, many photos. You delete them all at once. If you want to do this on your iPhone, you will go, where's my iPhone? I just want to show you here. You'll tap, select the first one, And then you'll go to the right and then press down, swipe down and go to the last one. And you select all of them at once and then delete, right? And if you want to make a selection on your computer, photos that are a little bit here, a little bit one here and one there, you'll select one. Your other finger, you keep command and then select another one and then select another one. And then you press delete and all of them are gone at the same time. I hope I didn't go too fast.
No, I love that. That command delete tip is great, is because this is one thing we talk about on the podcast a lot, which is, you know, these small changes, it doesn't seem like much, right? One click, one extra click, but these small changes you make, small little optimizations, they add up to a lot when you have to do it a lot. And this is like never more true than with photos. When you're getting rid of or favoriting or whatever, like hundreds of photos, these small little changes really do add up to making it a lot easier to deal with and a lot less likely you're going to put it off.
Absolutely. So there are many, many other shortcuts for photos. Usually for any program, you'll go to help and then you'll see any command that you will do, there is a shortcut equivalent. So I usually teach two keys at once. As soon as there's three keys, don't even bother. Just, it's fine. But if you have the command delete, that is essential. If there is only one thing that you learn from this podcast, this is what you want to do.
Thanks so much to Masterworks for supporting the Productivity Show. Masterworks is a cool concept. It's an investment company that helps you buy shares of fine art. Now, you might not have thought of this before, but art can be a great investment in your portfolio, and here's why. The Fed is printing money quicker than ever. I don't know if you know this, but 40% of all US dollars ever printed were created in the last 12 months. Inflation is rising at its fastest pace since 2008. Now, how are professional investors preparing for this? Some are calling it a nightmare scenario. Well, they're doing it with under-the-radar asset classes like art, where prices have nearly tripled S&P returns between 1995 and 2020. It's a real physical asset that isn't gold, isn't real estate, or isn't anything related to crypto. So now, for the first time ever, everyday investors can get access to this $6 trillion exclusive asset class. It's not surprising when you hear all that Masterworks has over 200,000 members signed up already. And while they have a long wait list to sign up more, they've opened up just 35 passes for our listeners to jump to the front. So go to masterworks.io/TPS to get your pass today before they run out. That's masterworks.io/TPS to skip the wait list and get your pass today. And thanks so much to Masterworks for supporting the show. Of course, make sure to see the important disclosures at masterworks.io/disclaimer. How did you choose which internet service provider to use? The sad thing is most of us have had very little choice because ISPs operate like monopolies in the regions that they serve. That's definitely the case where I live. They then use this monopoly power to take advantage of customers. There's data caps, streaming throttles, the list goes on and on and on. But worst of all, many ISPs log your internet activity and then sell that data on to other big tech companies or advertisers. To prevent ISPs from seeing my internet activity, I protect all my devices with ExpressVPN. So what is ExpressVPN? Well, it's a simple app for your computer or your smartphone that encrypts all network data and tunnels it through a secure VPN server so that your ISP just can't see any of your activity. Just think about how much of your life is on the internet. Every single site you visit, video you watch, or message you send gets tracked by ISPs or other tech giants who then go on and sell your information for profit. That's the reason I recommend ExpressVPN as the best way to hide your online activity from your ISPs. Personally, I like how ExpressVPN comes with an app for every device that I use. I have a Mac computer, a Windows computer, a Windows tablet, iOS, Android, Linux, routers. There's even VPNs for Chromebooks, smart TVs, and game consoles. I use a lot of different types of devices, so I love how easy it is to use on every platform. So stop handing over your personal data to ISPs and other tech giants who mine your activity and sell off your information. Protect yourself with the VPN that I trust to keep me private online. visit expressvpn.com/TPS. That's expressvpn.com/TPS to get an extra 3 months free. Go to expressvpn.com/TPS right now to learn more. Okay, I'm going to do something a little different now, and I'm going to talk about another podcast I like, and that's Business Wars. In the newest edition of Wondery's Business Wars, they look at how Death Row and Bad Boy Records changed American music and American business. Soon enough, however, their East Coast versus West Coast rivalry would turn deadly. Now, back in the 90s, these two hip-hop record labels shocked parents and won over fans worldwide, selling tens of millions of albums. The battle between these two labels escalated as they fought to reach the top of the charts. So back then, Tupac would score with a blockbuster album for Death Row, and then Bad Boy would retaliate with a hit Notorious B.I.G. single. This may or may not be your type of music, but the story is fascinating, with larger-than-life characters like Tupac, Biggie, Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg, Puff Daddy, and Suge Knight. The story of these record labels and their rivalries is a textbook for financial success that, in the words of Biggie, led to more money, more problems. I like how every season, Business Wars deep dives into a business rivalry like Netflix versus Blockbuster, Red Bull versus Monster, or the Browser Wars. This season, they're going behind the scenes into the soundtrack of the mid-90s rap, which is something I thought I knew about, but they have lots of stories that I had never heard before. It's a totally different business war angle than the usual Coke versus Pepsi stuff, although they do a good job on that too. They build the stories brick by brick, and they just keep you hooked in. So listen to Business Wars, Death Row versus Bad Boy on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music, or you can listen 1 week early and ad-free by joining Wondery Plus in the Wondery app. Now, you mentioned earlier that dealing with a photo is essentially, and this is true with any organization, it's really like a series of questions you're asking yourself. And so you mentioned earlier, like when you're deciding what to do with a photo, really you're either deleting it, keeping it, or favoriting. But what if you're not sure? What if you're not sure what to do with that? You know, you said earlier about maybe it's a family member or maybe it's something from a trip you did. What sort of questions can you ask yourself if you're trying to decide what to do?
Yes. At the beginning, it's easy because the choices are easier, right? Then when you have to compare where you look and they have to remember what's important for you, right? So for people pictures, you know, when you go back to old photo 10 years ago, when I work with people, they come like, whoa, what was this person? Like, I can't remember. It's interesting to see that some photos, they get better as we age, there are more, and some photos we have no interest, we don't remember, it's not important. So you kind of have to decide for yourself who is important, right? So usually for people is you compare photos, but always with the next one that's going to come after or before. And it's like, in the long term, is this important? Because if you have 25 pictures of your baby, that it's just in 2 seconds after, there's no difference. Which one is making you feel good, right? So feeling good, making the picture that you like, you know, that's easy, right? And how many do you have in the series? For the pictures, like useful pictures, is do I need this in your future, right? Most pictures, you know, the shopping pictures, when we've done, we don't need them anymore. The parking pictures, this can go. This is really easy. But some screenshot, for example, you took the picture, it's a screenshot. You are going to need this in the future. So this is research and sometimes it's for work, right? So that's going to be important. And you want to make sure that you put it in a folder or you mark it in a way. Favoriting is okay, but I feel like it's better to just make a folder or you can add a caption. So I'm not sure if you know this because this is iOS 14. This was kind of last year. You could just go to your phone and then you'll swipe up and then you add a caption. So you'll just look on your pictures and then you tap on it and then you'll say, you lift up. And if you add a caption, you could search it for it later. So this is great, right? Awesome. So I was talking about photos that you love, photo of your children, et cetera, et cetera. So your favorite is good. You could add names, you could go deeper this way. Anything that you want to remember later, you could add a caption or make an album for this, right? My husband needed this for his vaccination card. So I told him, he was scrolling, said, just add a caption and you could find it. Yes.
Great tip. All right. So let's say you're sitting down and you want to tackle your photo collection. So you're on board with decluttering. Do you have like a framework or tips for just like getting started on tackling that whole photo collection? You know, we've talked about some little tactical tips, but you want to get started on really getting organized. Do you have a like a framework or tips for that?
So I would say first, what's your vision? Why do you do this? And then setting some time aside. And once you know the shortcuts, right, you learn them. And then because it's going to be more fun, it won't be so tedious to do it because you're going to go much faster. So you're going to have the results. It's going to be it's your life, you know, so hopefully it's a good thing to do. Right. So once you see you have heart, you put heart in the pictures, all these photos are going to be in your special favorite album. You just look at it and it's going to give you energy actually to continue the work because this is fun. So you want to have your vision. You want to know what you're doing. You have clear goal, right? Maybe you just write them down, right? And then one thing that you could do is set up, maybe you do a Pomodoro, like 25 minutes, and you see how much you could accomplish in 25 minutes. And then you see, okay, did I get bored? Was this too long? Was I in a flow? Was this fun? You know, and kind of reflect on that. And maybe you time yourself. Oh, well, I deleted 800 photos and I saved 1 gigabyte of space. And then makes you kind of feel good. But then when you can analyze what you've done, you could say, okay, now every Sunday, I'm going to do another 25 minutes or another hour. Or maybe I want to do, it's too boring, I'm going to do 10 minutes a day, a little bit, before I go to Facebook, before I go to Instagram. I just go through my photos and I did it a little bit at a time, right? And then so the reflection, I think, is people usually kind of skip that. They just want to get done, but they never really spent time to say, well, like, oh, how does this make me feel? Or what did I get? And usually when I teach, I love teaching about curation. You know, it's like, oh, I make this mistake, or what can I learn from this? So I realized I took my camera and I only take vertical photos. How about now if I take horizontal photos? You know, little things like this. I love to, when I work with people, I explain to them, you know, like, this is a mistake that I've done and everybody's done, right? So maybe next time, look at your picture that you love and what did you do that's really cool that you could do again? So the reflection is very important, right? Usually people skip that. It's like, what are you learning from deleting? Because curation is a lot about how do you see your photos? What do you get from the photos? And the curation is not just for you, it's going to be for other people, right? So how other people are going to appreciate your photos. So you curate because you want to show those photos. So you can't have too many. So you want to find the essential photos that are going to make people feel happy about.
Mm-hmm. That's right. It's all about making yourself and other people happy. That's the message I'm getting from this episode. So that's awesome. Yeah. That's the thing, right? We're not organizing for the sake of organizing, right? Organizing isn't the goal. It's what do you get out of your photos when you're done, and hopefully have a framework for keeping decluttered as you're going. It's all about like the next level benefits, which is happiness, of course. Love that.
And also, usually I see people and they just take photo for the aesthetics part of it. So just because they like things. And then we could say, okay, what do I like? And then you understand more about what you're attracted to. And then maybe put a little portfolio of your best images. Usually they kind of get left out. But just photo for just for the sake of it, a beautiful photo that we love, I think that is also important. Right.
What do you recommend if somebody wants to have more decluttered photos, but they feel like they just don't have a lot of time, or they're kind of like constantly procrastinating because just tackling their existing photo backlog just seems so daunting, or it just seems like busy work. Do you have any recommendations to somebody who likes the idea but has some friction around that?
Well, they don't have to do it, first of all. But I think most people, I mean, if you think about, if you have family, if you know that at some point these photos are going to be passed on, you want to do this for them. So maybe that will give you extra energy, you know, or maybe you could just separate the best one. But so you could delegate this. You could do it very systematically. You could do by year, by month, or you could do by theme. You delete where you have the most mess. You know, for example, if your video, you have too many videos, you could go just and do the video because it's going to save you the most space. Or you could say, I want to delete my screenshot and remove them all at once. Stuff like this. You could think of like, what is going to be the best payoff, right? And kind of see that as a big picture and go for that.
Mm-hmm. Are there any big mistakes you've seen people make when they want to get started decluttering their photos? Are there like mistakes that almost everybody makes, or just kind of like maybe mistakes isn't the right word. Maybe it's just like you have recommendations, but just do you have any things you've seen a number of times?
I mean, you want to make sure that you backed up. Okay, but that's a different story. But for decluttering, I think is you maybe too safe at the beginning. So everybody, I think, in this podcast is familiar with George McKeon's book, you know, Essentialism. Read that book first, okay? And then you'll see that you won't waste time with a little this picture. I call this photo agonizing, right? When you just waste too much time on things that don't really matter. So just go for what's important. Let's look for the most important photos first. And if I never have time to go in the little details, it doesn't matter, right? So try to see what's more important. So I think because all his book is about editing is you could subtract, but this is really to add to your life.
So we've been talking about digital photos this whole time, and that's mainly because that's the way the world has, you know, kind of moved, as we talked about. But a lot of people do have albums or boxes of physical photos, and maybe they want to digitize it or at least do something with it. Do you ever have people coming to you with that? Do you have any recommendations for them when that's something they want to do?
Absolutely. So for this, I would say don't hesitate to delegate that, the scanning, because people would get into scanning and maybe they stop it because it takes too long. Somebody else can do this for you, right? One thing that you have to do before is to put this in order. So you don't give this to the scanning place in a big mess. You want to organize this chronologically or by theme, right? Because it's harder to organize after the fact, after it's scanned. So that is a big mistake that I see this all the time. You know, don't feel like that you have scanned, it's enough. It's really the beginning of the process, because after that, you want to retitle your files to make sure that if you share those images, people can make sense and put metadata in the picture to see who is who, because usually a lot of people are going to be interested in these pictures. And also to not throw out the pictures. Because it's so easy to break a hard drive. Hard drives, they don't last forever, right? People forget. So they want to dump everything. And I say, no, just keep the pictures. They are very valuable. So then you have two copies, a digital copy and a printed copy. And the paper, it's wonderful. It's nice. Mm-hmm.
All right. So before we wrap up, do you have any like productivity tips that you recommend to clients? Like we talked about some shortcuts and stuff like that, but do you have any kind of productivity tips that you usually recommend to people? And then kind of like follow it on that. Or is there anything that we haven't talked about that you wanted to talk about? Feel free to like tack that on as well.
Well, we could talk about productivity for a long time, but I will say for photos, because it's the sheer amount is so enormous and it takes time because you don't want to make mistakes, use whatever worked in the past for big project, right? Usually I compare this with email. We produce email, we produce photos, and sometimes we don't pay attention to what we create. It just goes too fast. So in the future, maybe take less picture, be more intentional about how you take pictures. And then be quicker at deleting, right? I don't need this. I don't need this. I don't need this. And it's okay. You're going to make small mistake, but it's okay. So anything that worked, maybe focus wise, maybe turn off the notification, of your email coming in if you delete these photos. Anything that you've learned in this podcast, you know, maybe do Pomodoro, turn off your notification. I mean, I forgot, but there are so many ways to do it. Accountability partner, that could be really good. Do this with somebody else. And then if you have a photo that, you know, sure, we talk to each other, you know, things like that. It's a big project, but the end product is so much fun because you see your life, you look at everything, and then hopefully this brings you joy that's going to make you continue the work, right? Essentialism book, I think, might be the first thing, and really knowing your goal, why do you do this? When I read this book, I think it was very eye-opening, so I recommend this book. And also another one, this one, because I have at home. I'm going to give you two more books. So this is A Paradox of Choice, Why More is Less by Barry Schwartz. And then another one, this is not tactical, but it's really about seeing things and learning about photography. So I don't know if you could see this book. This is called Seeing Things by Joel Meyerowitz. And it's really a book for children, but I think for adults it's great too. It's really about understanding photography, because once you know the rules and why makes a photography great, it's much easier to make choices. So I usually recommend this to my clients because you're looking at an image. Photography is it's a visual language, and usually we don't learn this at school. You know, you learn how maybe to write, you know that you don't want a repetition. Well, it's the same in an image. You don't want to see the same image all the time. So you might want to edit this out. So learning to see photography as a language, I think, is important. So you always learn and then you'll get better. And at the end, I feel like the more you know, then the less photography, the less photos you're going to take, right? So less, but better. Okay.
Love that. So Essentialism, The Paradox of Choice, and Seeing Things. So like I mentioned earlier, we'll have links to all of these in the show notes that go along with this podcast. So you can just access them right in your podcast player and check them out. Love those tips. I love the tip about using the Pomodoro timer, because a lot of times we think that we need to take a whole weekend and do this sort of thing, or, you know, even like take a time on our vacation, do it and have these big blocks. But you can accomplish a lot just by breaking things down into small little increments and just work plugging away with it when you can. You can get pretty far with that.
Absolutely. So after a while, you get tired of making decisions. So you could take a rest and then go back to it. Yes.
Mm-hmm. All right. So Isabel, this is really, really great. A lot of great tips, and I'm looking forward to dropping those links into the show notes. If anybody has any questions for you on any of the things that you help people with, or if they want to chat with you, where is the best place for them to get in touch?
Absolutely. So they could go to my website, which is isabeldervaux.com. You'll see the spelling in the show notes. And then they could book a 20-minute conversation with me.
All right. Yeah, we'll have links to the website, Instagram, LinkedIn, all that sort of stuff. We'll have links again in the show notes. All right. So Isabel, thank you so much. I really, really appreciate you sharing your expertise. This is a episode that's been a long time coming, because almost all of us are struggling with photo clutter. So thank you all again. And thank you for listening. We'll see you next Productive Monday.
Thank you for having me. Thanks a lot.